chapter 22, paragraph 5. A vow is of the like nature with a promissory oath, and ought to be made with the like religious care, and to be performed with the like faithfulness. It is not to be made to any creature but to God alone, and that it may be accepted, it is to be made voluntarily out of faith and conscience of duty, in way of thankfulness for mercy received, or for the obtaining of what we want, whereby we more strictly bind ourselves to necessary duties, or to other things so far and so long as they may fitly conduce thereunto. So, vows to God. First of all, what a vow is. And here it's called a promissory oath. The Confession of Faith here seems to regard an oath as made to man, calling upon God to witness, whereas a vow is made to God himself. I'm not sure that in everyday speech now we observe that sharper distinction, at least with any consistency. We tend to use the two terms rather more interchangeably, I suppose. But at any rate, whether it's a promise made to God, calling upon God as witness, or a vow made to God himself, the same care is to be observed. The proof texts given, some of them are ones we've already seen, Isaiah 19, verse 21, and the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord, and perform it. So they're anticipating New Testament times, Egypt, the great enemy, one of the great enemies of the church in the Old Testament, is represented as vowing a vow unto the Lord. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4 to 6. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4 to 6. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice, and destroy the work of thine hands? So here, as we've seen before, the angel may refer to the officer in the temple, and the picture is of someone saying, well, it was just a mistake when it becomes inconvenient to fulfill the vow. It was just a mistake. Say not, either vow and do it, or don't vow, but don't vow and then say, oh, well, it was just a slip up. Psalm 61 and verse 8. Psalm 61 and verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. So vows taken are to be performed, and if they involve daily activity, then they're to be daily performed. Psalm 66 and verse 13. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and thy mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. So a vow is a promissory oath, and it is made to God rather than to men, calling upon God to witness. Secondly, it is to be made, they are to be made to God alone, to God alone. Psalm 76 and verse 11. Psalm 76, verse 11. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. So it's to be made to the Lord our God. Jeremiah 44 and verse 25 to 26. Jeremiah 44, verse 25. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows, and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah, that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah, in all the lands of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. So there it's condemning vows made to that which is not God. We may make promises to men, and we may confirm those promises with oaths, whereby we call upon God as witness. But we are not to vow to any creature as if that creature had divine power, as they were doing to the Queen of Heaven. And so we are to, this is where to worship God, and a vow is an act of worship. It is to be done to God, just as an oath to men, if it is to be confirmed with a promise, is to be confirmed with an oath, it is God that we are to call upon as witness, and we're not to swear by things, by heaven or by earth or any other thing. Then thirdly, to be accepted. The confession of faith says it is not to be made to any creature but to God alone, and that it may be accepted, it is to be made voluntarily out of faith and conscience of duty. It is to be made voluntarily, that is, freely. It is to be made out of faith, that is, out of confidence that the God of the Scriptures is the living and true God, and that he hears our vows and sees the performance of them. It is to be made with a conscience of duty, that is, an awareness that the vow itself is right, and that what we are vowing to do is right. It is to be made with a good conscience and an awareness that the vowing is right, and what we are vowing is right according to the word of God. Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. 23. Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it will be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even the freewill offering according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. So this is stressing that there are vows that are voluntary, in the sense that it's not sin not to do them, not to engage in them, but having engaged in them, aware that God sees our vows, we are to perform them. And then occasions of vowing, and the confession says, in way of thankfulness for mercy received, or for the obtaining of what we want. Mercies received, Psalm 50, verse 14. Psalm 50 and verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. That is, to show thankfulness and therefore a determination to glorify the Lord in some particulars to which we commit ourselves by vow. And then obtaining what we want, Genesis 28, Genesis 28 and verse 20 to 22. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, what is involved here is not a deal, as it were, by way of merit, that as if our vowing and declaring what we will do will somehow act as a lever to get God to give us what we want. But it is a demonstration of purity of motive. Our prayers should always aim at the glory of God. If man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, then surely that must be true of our prayer. And therefore to vow to glorify him focuses our minds on this. Of course, God always knows what's in our hearts, but the vow actually enables us to be clearer that we aim at the glory of God. And I think this will become clearer when we discuss the sixth point, which is what we may vow to do. What we may vow to do, whereby we more strictly bind ourselves to necessary duties or to other things, so far and so long as they may fitly conduce thereunto. So there's additional binding to existing duties. The content of vows may legitimately include binding ourselves to do what it is our duty to do anyway. And that is a legitimate part of the content of vows, that even existing obligations, we are further binding ourselves and committing ourselves to do them. It would be our duty to do them anyway, but the vow increases that obligation, because if we don't do them, then there's the sin of not doing what we should do anyway, and there's the breach of the vow, which is also sinful. But then there are other things, it says, or to other things, so far and so long as they may fitly conduce thereunto. Other lawful things, but not commanded things. Things that are legitimate, but which are not automatically required by the law of God, but which are conducive to the end required, the end in view. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. Now there, Hannah vows to the Lord what was not automatically required, that is, that if the Lord gave her a son, he would be dedicated to the Lord in the work of the temple and so on, or the work of the tabernacle. And the Lord did not require that of every mother, but it was a legitimate thing. And it manifested Hannah's motive, which was the glory of the Lord in being given a son, that she aimed through the family ordinance at the glory of the Lord. And she bound herself to that which was not automatically required. Yes, we should, every parent should devote their children to the Lord in the sense of desiring that by the Spirit of God they will live out their lives to the glory of the Lord. But the particular form of service to which Hannah committed a son, if given one by the Lord, was not mandatory for every parent. Psalm 66, verse 13 and 14 again. Psalm 66 and verse 13 and 14. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Here there was a vow and a commitment to additional acts of worship. Psalm 132 and verse 2 to 5. Psalm 132, verse 2 to 5. Well, reading from verse 1. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. And therefore, in this place, David vowed to do that which was glorifying to God and to do it before he went into his house or slept in his bed. So it was an additional binding that to those things which were conducive to focusing on that which was his duty in any case. Of particular interest to covenanters is the Solemn League and Covenant of 1643. And if you examine the contents of the Solemn League and Covenant, it entails existing duties, that is, the acknowledgement of Christ's kingship over the nation as well as over the church, and the obligations to worship God, to believe the truth of God's word, to worship him according to his word, and so forth. In other words, it contains a binding, an additional binding, to do what we ought to do. And it also entails some matters which are circumstantial to that, the binding of the three kingdoms and so on, viewed as conducive to the existing duties to which they were further binding themselves. Some hold that only the existing duties, those things in the Solemn League and Covenant, which would be the duty of England, Scotland and Ireland anyway, that only those things are binding upon us today. But we can see here from the scriptural references given and the teaching set out in the Confession of Faith, that everything is binding which is not shown to be sinful. In other words, a vow which binds us to existing duty makes it all the more required that we perform it. But when it binds us to that which, though not an automatic duty, yet nonetheless is not sinful, and which was deemed to be conducive to existing obligation, then that also must be fulfilled. And that's why some of us believe that the whole content of the Solemnian Covenant, unless something in it can be shown to be sinful, the whole content is binding upon England, Scotland, and Ireland. So then, vows are to be taken seriously. God takes them seriously when men and women make them. God sees and knows every oath, every vow that men make. Every oath made in His name, every vow made to Him, He holds as binding upon us. Let us not be hasty to vow anything, but having vowed, let us make sure that we perform it.